Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour two of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and Clay and I are trying to break down all of the latest updates here from the Pentagon, the Biden White House, about the catastrophe in Kabul, the unbelievable, mind-blowing incompetence of the Biden administration on full display for all to see, and a highly volatile, precarious situation, not just in general terms for U.S. foreign policy, but also for the thousands of Americans who are still on the ground in Afghanistan, not clear they'll be able to get out. Our government, the White House, asked the Taliban for permission to extend the August 31st deadline. They've given up on this notion of using, meaning America has given up on September 11th as some kind of a symbol of the end of the war and the beginning of something new. Now, the Taliban is the one that is going to be using that symbolism for their own purposes. In fact, there's a Wall Street Journal op-ed referring to the Taliban 9/11 and going into that in some detail. We could talk about that with Clay here in just a few moments. But before we came back here to join you and bring everyone up to speed on what's going on, you had Representative Mike Waltz. He's a former Special Forces guy. He was SF and a good guy. I know him and know that he's a straight shooter, so to speak. And he's warning about the possibility already of this going so badly that we could have to send soldiers back into Afghanistan, not for evacuation, perhaps, but even for direct combat roles.
This isn't about politics. This is about the fact that America now is less safe. Here's why we're in even a worse position than we were in 2001. Because now we have no bases in the region. The intelligence community has been very clear. They have the will and the intent to hit us again. So as we head into the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we now face a prospect of our soldiers having to go back in.
Clay, that's what I think is in the back of a lot of people's minds here. On the one hand, there's just the look, this is one of those moments where this isn't about politics. This is about what's really important, which is getting every American out of Afghanistan safely. That's what you and I care about. That's what we're sitting here hoping for first and foremost. If that doesn't happen and something goes bad, and we all know what that would mean here in the context of a place like Afghanistan run by the Taliban, there's the additional possibility of we go in and we start trading blows with the Taliban again in direct combat operations. That's not going to be a short, quick thing, Clay.
And I think to your point, Buck, the biggest failure of the Biden administration is not necessarily the evacuation itself, although we know how much of a failure that evacuation has already been. It's creating a situation where the Taliban has all of the control and we have none of it. And we've hit on this for the past couple of weeks as this maelstrom of disaster has continued to unspool itself. You've got situations where 19-year-old kids with guns who are Taliban really have the fate of the Biden administration on their trigger finger. Because if those kids, and I say kids because you're 18, 19 years old, suddenly lose their cool or even accidentally start firing on crowds, then you've got Benghazi on steroids for Joe Biden. And what is so humiliating about this is we have no plan for departure, and we have said, and this is the biggest failure of all, hey, we have to be out of there by August 31st. So, Buck, what happens if, as seems likely, there are still many people left in Afghanistan?
Well, that's essential, Clay, because we're all wondering, are we going to be able to get everybody out? And when you start to look at what the answer to that question is, based on the numbers, the logistics, the realities on the ground, some are already saying no. In fact, we need to be prepared for the eventuality here, the imminent reality of Americans being, yes, the word stranded would certainly apply. And then, I mean, if the Taliban shuts off all access to the airport, says, sorry, you missed the deadline. Now we are talking about a mass hostage situation for, it could be 50, it could be 500, who knows, could be 5,000 Americans stuck there. and we won't be able to have the kind of visibility to know what's even happening to them necessarily. And Representative Mike McCaul, he's just straight up saying it. We're not going to be able to get out. And Biden may have blood on his hands.
The president just announced a firm withdrawal date of August 31st. I can tell you there's no way we can humanly get all of our American citizens and Afghan partners out of country by that time. I've called this consistently an unmitigated disaster of epic proportions. It will be a stain on this presidency, and particularly after the decision made today and what we heard today, he will have blood on his hands. People are going to die, and they're going to be left behind.
Clay, I hope Representative McCaul is wrong. I hope he's wrong. I do not think he will be.
And that, again, goes to the essence of this failure of Joe Biden and the fact that as we started the show talking about this, this is resonating in a big way with the American people without necessarily a tangible disaster occurring in terms of loss of life of Americans. 26% Buck approval, according to the most recent USA Today poll, of our withdrawal from Afghanistan. Now, you can quibble and say, you know, how many times did they poll Nancy Pelosi to find out that 26% is valid? But 74% of people in a highly polarized American environment disagreeing with the president of the United States is really unheard of. And I think one of the questions we have to start to ask is, and we've been asking this, but I think it's starting to become more and more apparent with that 41% approval rating for Joe Biden, according to USA Today, that just came out earlier today. How is this going to implicate everything in the Biden administration? Buck, you've talked about the failures at the border. We know about the murder rate skyrocketing. We know about inflation. How is this all going to factor in the COVID failures? How is this going to impact the $3.5 trillion Bernie budget? Literally, the argument for most people is foreign affairs doesn't drive the ship when it comes to American state. But I kind of feel like the failure in Afghanistan, when it is a representative sample of the failures that are occurring everywhere, just kind of becomes the cherry on the top of the crap cake that Joe Biden is baking for America right now.
There's also the issue of focus, Clay. And what are the people that have been entrusted with power and with the still awesome resources of the United States government and the United States military intelligence apparatus? What are they really doing right now? What is Congress doing? I mean, you're bringing up some of the machinations behind the scenes around the budget issue. Shouldn't this be a moment where instead of Congress, I think there's even some briefing this week from the Select Committee on the January 6th Commission. No, that's the fake insurrection.
Yeah.
Maybe we could actually look at the real insurrection in Afghanistan that's put thousands and thousands of American lives in imminent peril. Not getting some pepper spray in the face, not being assaulted, but maybe not making it back home at all. I think that the Congress could shift their focus to that. And Kevin McCarthy, as a member of Congress, is saying, what are we even doing here? How is this not the one and only, between now and August 31st, goal of Congress and the United States federal government?
Our entire focus, Republican, Democrat, Independent alike, should be nothing else than bringing our Americans home. We shouldn't work on other items, especially the spending of trillions of dollars. That should be our only focus. We shouldn't cut off our briefing with the administration because they have to get back to vote on their rule.
I think that's a
strong
argument.
This is what
we
should be voting on. If I look to the UK, they brought their parliament back to work on bringing their citizens home. We should be doing exact same.
All hands on deck in the UK, Clay. Pelosi wants to have fancy fundraisers and, talk about trillions of dollars of spending.
I think McCarthy is making the right decision here in saying, hey, shouldn't we be focusing on the biggest foreign policy disaster in most of our lives, as opposed to trying to cram a budget through where, frankly, a lot of Americans aren't necessarily paying attention. Now, if you and for those of you out there who have not been paying attention, there are around 10 moderate Democrats that are standing up to the idea of this $3.5 trillion bill in the House. The question is whether or not the votes are there for Nancy Pelosi in the House and Chuck Schumer in the Senate. But really, this shouldn't be a debate that's taking place while there are this many Americans in harm's way in Afghanistan. I think Speaker McCarthy, soon to be Speaker McCarthy, former Speaker McCarthy, is right. They should stand down and wait to see what actually happens in Afghanistan before they're debating whether or not to pass this $3.5 trillion Bernie budget bill.
I mean, how could anybody, Clay, who draws a paycheck from the federal government and has any national security role, which Congress certainly supposed to, right? We got the defense committee, we've got the intelligence committee. You know, Congress is supposed to matter with these things. How could they have split focus right now? And be, I know that say, oh, we walk and chew gum at the same time. No, we're actually looking at a clock here that is running out, and we can all see it, where if we're not out within a week from today, August 31st.
Yes, that's right.
We're in a whole other situation. What do we do then? When the Taliban says to this administration, sorry guys, now we're going to process all those Americans because we don't know who might be a spy for the other side, or who might be whatever. They can make up, they can say whatever they want. They're going to hold people. And what are we going to do about it? Deny them greater legitimacy to the international community? They're going to say
letters.
They're going to say we gave a deadline. The U.S. didn't meet it. We're still working with them. We will all know that it's bull, but Russia and China won't care. Other countries are going to say, well, it's, not our problem. And this is what the Biden administration is facing. So I'm curious what the folks out there who have any experience in Afghanistan, with Afghanistan, think about this 1 week deadline and what it feels like to hear after we have so many people listen to the show, Clay, who fought and went toe to toe with the Taliban. And now we've got the Biden administration begging basically for the ability to get American civilians out of this country. Taliban says no.
Oh, and by the way, we're going to talk at the bottom of this hour. Remember, for people who recall last week, we got a call specifically focused on one individual that was trying to get out. One of our listeners called in. We've got an update from him. We're going to play that at the bottom of the hour, what it's actually like on the ground right now in Kabul. We'll discuss that. But first, Buck, what you got?
800-282-2882, folks on lines. Do light them up. Let's chat. We've got folks all across the country. We got so much insight here in this audience. I mean, if I wanted to put out there, how do you fix a Black Hawk at 2 o'clock in the morning with only, two screws and a hammer? This audience could do that for me. So I know you guys know a lot about this subject matter. 800-282-2882. All right. So Rough Greens is just making people believers all across the country. We got all these testimonials that are flooding in. I mean, you hear from me, my family's feeding Rough Greens to our French bulldog, Tallulah. She's very French. I think she was actually born in Missouri, but she's very French. And she is somebody who's only going to eat food that still tastes really good. And I can see she's got more energy and she's doing better. But Susan from Waynesville, North Carolina, also wrote in to say she's very happy that her dog actually does eat this Rough Greens willingly. She's tried many vitamin and probiotic supplements that the dog turns her nose away from and refuses. Susan's impressed by the ingredient list compared to other supplements as well. So she's like, this is just the best in class. This is the product you want to give your dog to keep your dog healthy and happy. You need Rough Greens. It's a healthy supplement you add into your dog's food that puts all those live nutrients into things. You got probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. Rough Greens will make your dog's food, whatever you're feeding your dog right now, better and healthier. It makes for a happier pooch. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love Rough Greens. They've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. That's right, free. The only thing you have to pay is shipping. roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, rolling through the Tuesday edition of the program. A lot of Afghanistan news, a lot of COVID news. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. You can't miss it. And you'll be able to go grab anything you might have missed so far in the show. A little bit of a lighthearted, a little bit of a funny story now. Do you remember, Buck, when Andrew Cuomo was, all the Cuomo-sexual shirts were selling and he was doing his daily briefings?
He was the handsomest governor in America, the savior of New York State. He was grabbing people by the thousands, by their heartstrings, and occasionally by other places as well.
That is Governor Andrew Cuomo stepping into the studio there for a moment to address the nation. I have to say that Cuomo, we didn't really talk much about this, but at midnight last night, or this, I get all crossed up. I think it was just this morning, right? The new Kathy Hochul is now the governor. Cuomo has officially left the mansion. They have now stripped Buck. It was always one of the most ridiculous things that was out there that they had done this in the first place. But they have now stripped the honorary Emmy that they gave to Andrew Cuomo for his updates during the height of the COVID crisis in March and April of last year. And they have now, that I guess they're rescinding the Emmy, which is pretty funny in and of itself. I mean, the fact that he ever got an Emmy was an incredible indictment to the extent that there's any legitimacy to the Emmy in the first place, but they've taken it away.
Did you watch in real time? He would sit there, and this is during COVID, and at first everyone was like, oh my gosh, Kobe got it. But after a while it was, okay, so what are we going to talk about today? Today we will discuss the origins of what it means to be the governor of New York. I have slides, and he would just go on and on and on. I mean, there wasn't that much, you know, okay, we're going to do more talking. What does it mean for having a normal life again at some point? What do I mean by normal life? This was the daily rhythm, but people got so dependent on this because we're all locked at home that I think they started to feel like this was somehow comforting. I was looking at this saying, shouldn't this guy be doing stuff other than reading weird slides off? I mean, they could just send out or just post the data on COVID. We didn't, but he was this like comforter for so many people. He was the security blanket. He likes to hold people close, as we know.
Yeah, and this still is blowing up on Chris Cuomo, his brother, who is the one that's still in the public arena now, because the memes that are out there now of the two Cuomo brothers on CNN for so long, like they were, it's impossible basically to escape. And so I just thought that was a funny little anecdote. When we come back, by the way, I want to tee off on Jen Psaki, if I may. Because I said she did two really blatant lies. One of them, Buck, was saying, oh, you know, there's nobody stranded in Afghanistan. We know that. And we're going to play and build on that with some audio for you from one of our listeners. When we come back, we'll break that down for you. But before we're done, I also want to tee off on the second lie that Jen Psaki told yesterday. But in the meantime, I got to tell you, MyPillow will hook you up. They have the sell of the year on the Giza Dream Sheets, Buck. I was out in Las Vegas, staying in a fancy hotel, and I got to be honest with you, the sheets were not as nice as the ones on the Giza Dream Sheets. They are ultra soft, breathable. They are fantastic. 50% off with the promo code Clay and Buck. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets, $49.99 with code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269. Make the smart decision today. Go to MyPillow.com, Clay and Buck. Get hooked up with our friend Mike Lindell and his fabulous, fantastic, unbelievable sheets. The Giza Dream Sheets. We love them. You're going to love them too. Go to MyPillow.com. Put in the code Clay and Buck today, $49.99, half price.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and we've got a lot more to get to with you, including updates on the Biden administration's plans for evacuation of Americans out of Afghanistan and keeping, because the Taliban insists that we keep it, the 31st of August deadline. What is happening on the ground there? What's going on for the Americans and for the Afghans who were promised a safe harbor outside of that country? We'll bring you the latest on that, and then more on lockdowns, COVID madness, vax mandates, stadiums. Something Clay knows
I'm fired
all about.
Up about this.
Stadiums, yes. In places that'll surprise you are saying you vax or you don't get to come to the game. We'll talk about that with you in a moment. But, you know, last week, and Clay's going to have his Jen Psaki part two.
I'm going to tee off on her.
Jen Psaki part two
is coming your way. But we will get to that in just a moment. First, we had a caller, if you recall, last week named Josh, who was a veteran who served in Afghanistan, who said he was in contact with his interpreter that he's been trying to help get out. Josh joins us now on the phone. Josh, we appreciate your time. Give us an update as to where things are right now.
Hi, guys. So I ended up making contact with the interpreter again. He waited at the airport for 4 days with his family, almost no food, no water. And the military ended up kicking him out of the base. And when he went through the base outside, the Taliban started searching people and started kidnapping people. And he made it through because he hides all of his documents in his wife's burqa. So luckily they didn't search his wife. They searched him and his other family members, but he got through, got home, and now he has no idea what to do. He's stuck there. I filed for an SIV for him to get him here 2 to 3 months ago. And so Biden saying, oh, a lot of Afghans don't want to come here. That absolutely isn't true. There's been a wait list for Afghans to come here for months. It isn't like a new thing. Oh, now the Taliban are taking over. They want to come.
Josh, you're able to be in some contact with, we're going to call him Mike, not his name, folks. You know, we're trying to create some operational security baseline here. But Mike is the Afghan translator who is on the ground there, just dealing with what Josh told us about. This audio, we have a recording, and this is what he had to say.
I help American people. Right now, I need to help someone from American. Help me. Help me, someone. Please help my life from here. But I go there in a couple airports, but I don't have any good documents. You know, I have just copy of the paper and my badge. I have a HR letter from floor company, and I have some document from SIV company. He needs a passport for me, American passport. He needs a visa. He needs a green card, but I don't have any. Please, I need help from American people. Help me. Someone help for me, please. I'm going to die here, you know? I'm threatened by the Taliban here. I'm traded. Maybe they'll kill me.
Josh, it's heartbreaking, man. I know this was your translator. I know this is somebody that was alongside you over there and trying to help our country and keep our people alive in Afghanistan. What has to happen here for him to be able to get through?
I mean, other interpreters have been allowed to fly out. I don't get why they kicked him out. They're only allowing... He told me they were only allowing Americans or people with visas to leave, but I don't get that. He has paperwork for me. I sponsored him. He has all the paperwork from the embassy from months ago. It makes no sense why they would kick him out of the base. I mean, they're sending him to his death almost.
Have you, Josh, had any contact with American politicians? I know a lot of different, and maybe we can help you get in touch with American political helpers here, because a lot of them who have come on our show, and certainly there have been a lot of people active on social media, senators, congressmen, who are able to help get people out. Where are you based, Josh? Where are you located?
I'm located in California. I've emailed a bunch of senators. I've gotten no replies. I emailed a major that helped someone on another radio station, and I've gotten no reply from them either. I'm guessing they're extremely busy right now. But
all right, here's what we're going to do. Allie, who is on our staff, Allie has been working hard on this. Allie, we're going to put more onto your plate here. I'm betting if we reach out to some of our guests of late, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator Hagerty, one of those individuals, I know Senator Tom Cotton has been very active in trying to help people get out there who are stranded, despite what Jen Psaki has said. And so we may need to reach out to one of those politicians that has been involved with our show to maybe help that this man get out of Afghanistan, Josh. So we're going to try to work, and we'll keep people updated on the show. You called in, for people who are not familiar with this story, you called in to tell us about this man's story last week, I think it was, or the week before. So thank you, Josh. We're going to continue to track this, and we'll try to reach out direct to politicians to see if we can help him get onto a plane and not get killed, frankly, by the Taliban, which you heard his voice yourself. He sounds like he is terrified it's going to happen.
Yeah, he's scared, and I'm stressed to death for him because I feel like his life is almost in my hands. No one else is helping him, and I'm like a nobody. I've got medically retired as an E5, so who am I?
Well, you're on the biggest radio show in the country now, telling a lot of people listening about what's going on here who care about it, Josh. And we're going to do what we can to try to get this. There's a lot of folks who are in a similar situation to your Mike over there, but we're going to try to drill down into this case and see if we can move any levers in to help your guy and to help others there. We'll do so. We appreciate you, Josh, first of all, for your service and for bringing this to our attention, for joining us here on the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
Clay, I mean, it's heartbreaking, man. You can hear in that guy's voice, you know, that's just a human being who's got a wife and kids, you know, who's terrified. And here we are now also having to focus on the fact we've got thousands of Americans still in harm's way. And, we've got to get our Americans out first. We want to get as many Afghans out as we can. It defies belief that this could be as badly handled. I know that that's not a helpful line of analysis now, but I do think it's necessary to just put that out there. How the heck is the Biden administration messing this up so badly?
Yeah. And I talked about this on Sunday when I was speaking to a large group. And we've talked a lot about CRT and the failures of America and the people who want to denigrate our country. You hear that voice from that Afghan man and you see the imagery of people literally falling to their deaths as they were attempting to hang on to airplanes to leave Afghanistan. And you see how much these people are willing to give up their entire lives to be able to have a scintilla of the freedom that we take for granted every day. And that's why I know for many of you out there, and certainly for Buck and I, we get so fired up at the constant derogation, denigration, attacks that are leveled upon the United States. I mean, when you hear that man's voice, you have to recognize that we are and have always been the greatest hope for freedom in all of human history. And the fact that the Biden administration could bungle this for tens of thousands of people, just like that translator you heard talking to us, is just disgraceful and disgusting at an elemental level. They've fundamentally broken in many ways the compact of American excellence by their futility. It's infuriating.
I'm hopeful that we'll at least get some good news in the days ahead. Hopeful. I mean, it's just like I said with the, what was it, Congressman McCall, where he's saying that he feels like there's no way we're going to get all the Americans out. And if we're not getting all the Americans out, Clay, I think it's very clear we're also not going to get out all the Afghans.
No doubt.
There are Afghans who just want to get out of the country because they hate the Taliban. I'm sympathetic to them, but that's not the same thing as an Afghan who worked with our military and was
promised. Risked
their family's lives, and was promised that when the time came, they would get out. If we're not getting all the Americans out, we're not getting all of them out.
Yes.
That's for sure. So now it's just a question of how bad it's going to be. Folks, this is not going to be a story with an ending that America is proud of at all. That's what I see coming here. We'll continue to follow it. And I would be overjoyed if on the first week of September, the first day we do the show, in the middle of next week, I can say, wow, Clay, Biden really got it together and surprised me. They actually were able to mount up and get this done. I will eating my words on this one be fantastic. I think the chances of that are very slim. I think you and I both know that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I want to tell you, shifting gears, look, we're trying to save every American out there as much money as we possibly can with taking advantage of the best possible rates that exist anywhere in the country right now. And that is our friends at American Financing. Time's running out. You don't know how long the value is going to be out there. You can pre-qualify. You can get this all taken care of in as little as 10 minutes. You could save $1,000 or a month or more. All you need to do is call 800-777-8109, 800-777-8109. Go to AmericanFinancing.net, American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, one more time, get your phones out and make the call. 800-777-8109. You could save $12,000 or more in a year right now. Take care of all of your financial responsibilities. 800-777-8109. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are rolling through the Tuesday edition of the program. And there are a bunch of different things we can still get into. But I'm actually curious. I want to go ahead and X out the phones because I want to request a specific caller. I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to this, but I only want people in New Orleans or in the state of Louisiana to call in right now. And you're going to understand what I mean once you hear this next story. So last night, Buck, and I know you're not a wild football fan, but they had a Monday night football game in New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints were playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in order to get into the Superdome now, where the Saints play, you either have to have a COVID vaccine, aka a COVID vaccine passport, or you have to have a negative test that's been taken in the last 3 days. Or, and this was even wilder, they had a vaccine clinic, Buck, set up where if you got vaccinated, you could then go into the stadium. Now, this defies all logic as it pertains to the vaccine, because you might already have COVID and your vaccine doesn't start working the minute that you get it popped into your arm. So this doesn't really make any sense, but that's what they were doing to try to encourage people to get vaccinated.
Well, it's just about getting you to do it, right? That's all about.
They're trying to coerce you.
They are coercing compliance. And so it's not about the science.
Yes. And so now, right before we came on the air, LSU, the major university in the state of Louisiana, has announced that everybody going to Tiger Stadium, this is a 100,000-seat stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's a fabulous place to go watch a college football game. In order to enter, you will either have to be vaccinated or you will have to have a negative COVID test, Buck, for all people ages 12 and up. So this is the vast majority of people that would be going into the stadium, either visiting fans or local fans in Louisiana. And so my question is, how many people out there who are LSU or New Orleans Saints fans are willing to change your opinion on COVID in order to go to a game, and or how many of you have tickets and are now not going to go? Because, Buck, remember, they sold all the season tickets this year predicated on the idea we're going to have a full stadium, there's not going to be any vaccine requirement, and then the week before the season starts, they dropped this on everybody.
They gave a few days' notice before my brother's wedding that some of the venues and some of the places involved were going, and they did check vaccine passports and IDs. I mean, there's as everyone knows who's had a wedding, I mean, this is thousands and thousands of dollars involved. I mean, this is expensive, and you know, you got to get the venue and the permits and everything else. And there was no consideration given whatsoever. It was, sorry, this is our new rule. The city wasn't demanding enforcement until, I think it's September 13th, but they decided to go with it anyway and get ahead of it, because there are people for whom they just think anything that they can do, no matter how annoying, arbitrary, or useless it is, as long as it falls under this general rubric of Fauciite mitigation, as long as it falls into this bucket of we're fighting the virus, they'll go with it. And the fact that, I mean, I got to assume, Clay, a lot of people that would want to go to NFL games or college football games who aren't vaccinated, don't want to get vaccinated, and now something that matters a whole heck of a lot to them may be taken away from them because as de Blasio says, carrots and sticks. And this is the, one of the sticks that the Democrat politicians are going to whack you in the face with, everybody.
And it's also expensive to go get those negative COVID tests. Mind you, there are hundreds of thousands of people who are going to show up and tailgate outside the stadium, right? I mean, massive crowds of people. It's not as if they're stopping the spread of the virus. In fact, they're only impacting it for 3 hours inside of the stadium. But outside, packed tailgates, packed bars, everything else, that's still a go. So I only want to hear from people from Louisiana, LSU fans, as well as fans of the New Orleans Saints. If you have tickets, what are your thoughts on this? Because I think this is a big battleground that is coming. I know SEC and NFL fans pretty well, Buck, and they're not going to take very kindly to this requirement.
Is there anything that you think could be coming where you say, all right, I might have to get the shot, Clay, even though you've had COVID? Is there anything where is there something where you think it would be finally, if you couldn't fly on planes, would you get the shot?
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that is the requirement where I would say, okay, maybe I have to get the vaccine, even though I've already had COVID and there's no benefit. In fact, it could be detrimental, according to some studies, to combine the vaccine with natural immunity.
Yeah, we've got that and Biden in minutes supposed to be making remarks on Afghanistan. So we may be bringing you live in real time here what President Biden has to say about the slow-moving train wreck that is the Afghanistan withdrawal. It's already off the tracks. It's running off into the woods. The engine's coming apart. We'll update you on that, plus more on COVID and other things coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.